Please open your Bibles now to the book of Psalms. We'll be reading from Psalm 18 this evening. Last week we looked at the first half of this psalm and we focused in on the theme of God being our rock. That comes out in this section as well. But I've chosen the title, The Lord Lives, which is kind of the concluding words of David in this psalm as he finishes his reflections. And we'll talk more about that in just a few minutes. But let's look at verses 25 through 50 this evening. Psalm 18. Please give attention. This is God's holy word. With the kind, you show yourself kind. With the blameless, you show yourself blameless. With the pure, you show yourself pure. And with the crooked, you show yourself astute. For you save an afflicted people, but haughty eyes you abase. For you light my lamp. The Lord my God illumines my darkness. For by you I can run upon a troop. And by my God, I can leap over a wall. As for God, His way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to all who take refuge in Him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The God who girds me with strength and makes my way blameless. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets me upon my high places. He trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation and your right hand upholds me and your gentleness makes me great. You enlarge my steps under me and my feet have not slipped. I pursued my enemies and overtook them, and I did not turn back until they were consumed. I shattered them so that they were not able to rise. They fell under my feet. For you have girded me with strength for battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also made my enemies turn their backs to me, and I destroyed those who hated me. They cried for help, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but He did not answer them. Then I beat them fine as the dust before the wind. I emptied them out as the mire of the streets. You have delivered me from the contentions of the people. You have placed me as head of the nations. A people whom I have not known serve me. As soon as they hear, they obey me. Foreigners submit to me. Foreigners fade away and come trembling out of their fortresses. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation, the God who executes vengeance for me and subdues peoples under me. He delivers me from my enemies. Surely you lift me above those who rise up against me. You rescue me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks to you among the nations, O Lord. I will sing praises to your name. He gives great deliverance to his king and shows loving kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Last week we noted that while Psalm 17 is a psalm of lament, Psalm 18 follows that lament, or that lamentation, if you will, with thanksgiving. It is a psalm of David in which David reflects back upon God's faithfulness over a lifetime. And in it, he is expressing the solid hope that he has in God, that hope that carried him through tumultuous times in his life as he dealt with enemies from within and from without. And so now at this stage in his life, and you'll recall that 1 Samuel 22 repeats this psalm and gives us the setting at the end of David's life. Now at the end of his life, he's an old soldier and he's reflecting back upon the Lord's deliverances. And his testimony is what I mentioned earlier is the theme of our message tonight. His testimony is the Lord lives. The old soldier David proclaims, "The Lord lives." And as he thinks on that truth, he is filled with praise and thanksgiving for God's salvation and his care. David also shows that his reign foreshadows the eternal reign of Jesus Christ. Indeed, it is Jesus Christ who is the eternal rock and redeemer of God's people. And he is the triumphant king who will return to judge the living and the dead and to receive into glory all those who take refuge in him. And so David's reign is a foreshadow of that eternal reign. David is a type of the future King of Kings as Christ will come and win the victory for his people. As we noted last week, Psalm 18 has six parts. And those three sections, each of those, the first three sections and the last three sections actually mirror each other in a chiastic structure. And what I mean by that is that the psalm begins, as you remember last time, with praise. And then you have a vivid description of God's rescue of David. We talked about how that was like a theophany portrayed in language like that of Mount Sinai when God descended. So there's that vivid picture of rescue. And then you have a personal description of God's faithfulness to the faithful. That's where David is speaking about how God is rewarding him for his righteousness and for his faithfulness. The second half flips the order. It begins with the general principle of how God is faithful to the faithful. And then you have a vivid picture of victory, which is set in the context of David's battles. And then finally, the conclusion is praise. So you see how the two sections, the two parts of the psalm, the six sections, mirror each other and in a chiastic way. Well, this evening we're looking at the last three sections. And as we do, notice how these three aspects of the psalm, these three aspects, I should say, of David's testimony, assure us that the Lord lives today and is an ever help for his people. Well, let's look first of all at how God is faithful and just, starting out in verses 25 to 29. David is giving us the general principle here. Remember, in the previous verses, he speaks of God's faithfulness to him, a redeemed servant who sought to live a blameless life before God. And so he's detailing how he had sought to live blamelessly and righteously before the Lord in the previous section. And as we noted last time, that is not a claim of personal merit before God, that should obligate God to act on his behalf. But it is an expression of trust in God's purpose to bless his faithful people. So in essence, what David is expressing there is trust or a reliance upon God's covenant love. God's covenant love that extends blessings to those who obey and brings curses upon the disobedient. And of course, we have those curses and blessings outlined in Deuteronomy, chapters 27 and 28. He's talking in a covenantal context. And it's on the basis of God's covenant love that these blessings flow to the faithful. And in fact, it's the Spirit of God that works in the redeemed that it enables that faithful response. Well, in these verses, the principle is stated more generally. Verses 25 to 29. The Lord's response to the righteous is to reward them. That's the general principle. Verse 25 says, "With the kind," or the faithful, "you show yourself kind. With the blameless, you show yourself blameless. With the pure, you show yourself pure. However, with the unrighteous, God deals out retribution. With the crooked, you show yourself astute or shrewd," David says. And again, this is a general principle that David is stating. Certainly there are times when the wicked prosper for a season. Dictators may rule for decades before they fall, and we saw that in Libya. Muammar Gaddafi has been removed from power, or is in the process of that happening, but for decades he served with an iron fist and dealt very cruelly with the people of that land. Sometimes the righteous suffer calamity, as in the case of Job. But the wicked do not prosper forever, and the righteous will indeed be rewarded. God saves the afflicted, and He brings down the proud. That's the general principle that David is outlining here. God is faithful and just. He is faithful to reward the faithful. And it's the same principle that is illustrated for us in Psalm 1. The righteous are like the flourishing and fruitful tree that is planted by streams of water. The wicked are like chaff driven by the wind. God causes the righteous to prosper, but the wicked will perish. So David gives this general principle. And then he goes on to personalize the Lord's help, God's faithful response. He indicates there in verses 30 and 31 in verses 28 and 29 how God gives illumination and strength to His servants. Think about how many times David was backed into a corner and didn't know which way to go. He was in desperate straits. He was surrounded by enemies. He was in the midst of a turmoil. Because, for example, his son Absalom had just taken the throne, the palace. What would he do? Where should he turn? Which way should he go? And yet the Lord lit his lamp. And the Lord illumined his darkness and showed him the way many times. Think how many times David's strength must have ebbed away as he was being pursued by his enemies and as he battled his enemies. And yet the Lord renewed his strength for battle so that he was able to run upon a troop, so that he was able to leap over a wall. And so the principle is that the Lord is faithful and just, and He will reward and preserve His faithful servants, but He will abase or He will bring low the haughty. Well, that leads us to the second section, and that is that God gives a decisive victory. Verses 30 to 45. Now, in the counterpart to this section, as we noted already, David vividly portrays God descending to help him, using language that relates to past theophanies or appearances of God. For example, like that of Mount Sinai, when the earth shook and when there was lightning and fire and smoke and the people trembled. And now he speaks in a different way. He speaks very personally of how God strengthened him in the midst of the battle and gave him victory. The first time, the first section is portraying that deliverance from God's perspective, if you will. This section is portraying that deliverance from David's perspective in terms of how he was helped in the battle. And what we see here is that the character of God is once again foundational as He delivers David, verses 30 and 31. God is blameless and has perfect integrity. His Word is tried and perfectly dependable. It can never fail. And David goes on to use the metaphors again that he uses at the opening of the psalm, speaking about the Lord's protection for His redeemed servants, how God is a shield, how He is a rock for His people. Verse 31 says, "For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God?" This is all rooted in the character of God, and that's what gives great hope and encouragement to David in the midst of the battle. But then we also see God equipping David in the battle. He equips David, verses 32 to 36. He girds him with strength. He makes his feet like the feet of a deer. He trains his hands for battle. He's able to bend a bow of bronze Some of you have bent a compound bow, perhaps, in hunting deer. But have you ever tried to bend a bow of bronze? I expect that's a high-powered bow in David's time, and it would take a lot of strength to bend it. And God enabled him to do that and to shoot straight and true. He gives the shield of salvation, we read. He upholds him by his right hand. He keeps his feet from stumbling. He leads him in a broad path so his ankles don't twist and turn on rocks or uneven ground. In other words, God equips his servant for battle. And that's true for us as well. God equips us in the battle. He has given us spiritual armor to do battle with the forces of evil in this world. We must stop trying to fight in our own strength. When we do, we will certainly fail. We will come up short. We will not be able to resist the enemy. But as we trust in the divine weapons that Jesus Christ has provided, we will have victory. Ephesians 6 is one of those classic passages in Scripture that describe these truths. We read, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, what are we to do? Take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm." God is the one who equips us so that we are able to stand firm in the battle, and David is illustrating that for us here. And we also see how David describes the results of that equipping and that enabling power in verses 37 to 45. He overtakes his enemies. He shatters them. God enables him to subdue them and to destroy them, to crush them as fine as dust. And as God's anointed king, what we see is that David is given complete victory over his enemies. He's made the head of nations, and foreigners come and bow in submission to him. Well, certainly these words are most completely fulfilled not in David himself, but in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the promised heir of all nations. Remember Psalm 2, how God promises that he will make him the heir of nations. And we know that Jesus, as the King of Kings, is also the governor of nations, as Psalm 22 tells us. Verses 43 and 44 of our passage here also speak of the conversion of the Gentiles. King Jesus is the one who is subduing to himself people from every nation and tribe and tongue, as Revelation tells us. And Psalm 22 and 27 also say, "All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will worship before Him." And so here we have in these words of victory, this local victory that David experiences as the King of Israel, we have the world victory that Christ has secured and is indeed accomplishing even now as the gospel is going forth to the nations. The victory of Christ over his enemies is the victory that believers share in him. He gives victory to us. Just as he gave victory to David over his physical enemies and certainly spiritual enemies as well. David's speaking about these physical enemies here. He also gives victory to us over sin and over death. He preserves us from the forces of evil in this world and from Satan. We share in his reign now, but one day we will reign with him eternally in the new heavens and the new earth. The benefits of our redemption at that time will be brought to fruition when he comes again in glory. We talk about the already and the not yet. Already we share these benefits with Christ. We reign with him today, but the not yet is still to come. And in glory we will enjoy the fullness of that reign, when we will reign with him in the new heavens and the new earth, and all of his enemies have been banished and subdued under him. 1 Corinthians 15, 25 to 26 say, "For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death." So we have in this second section the decisive victory of God described by David, and that victory is won for us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, finally, we see God is worthy of praise in verses 46 to 50. As David meditates upon these glorious truths, as he looks back upon his entire life, all of the battles, all of the ways that God has delivered him, all of the times that God strengthened his hand, all of the times that God came to his aid as a shield, as a rock, as a refuge, he can't contain himself. He overflows with praise to the Lord, his rock. And so he proclaims in verse 46 and in this final section, "The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation." Is that not true in your life? As you reflect back and as you think on the ways that God has been at your right hand to uphold you, to deliver you, first of all, to redeem you, are you not moved to praise? To say with David, "The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation." So he comes back to the place where he started this psalm. He started with praise and an expression of love to God as he thought on his care and his protection. That's where he starts, praise to the Lord who is his rock. And that's where he concludes. Well, notice that part of the deliverance that David praises God for and that he anticipates in these concluding verses is God's vengeance on his behalf. We talked this morning about how we're not to take our own vengeance. That vengeance, God says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. And we see that vengeance anticipated here. The Lord not only saves his people, but he will execute justice on behalf of his people. And so the conclusion of this psalm is looking beyond David's experience to the final exaltation of Jesus Christ when he returns as the judge of every man. Final justice will be rendered on the day of his return. At that time, as Philippians tells us, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Of those who are in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And what we need to realize is that there is shelter from His wrath through His blood. But for those who have rejected His gracious salvation, there is just judgment. And that is what is anticipated here. And what is longed for? Today is the day of salvation. But then it will be too late. And so the call of the gospel to you today is, have you taken shelter in the rock Jesus Christ? Because on that day it will be too late. Today He offers you salvation. He offers you redemption and freedom from the wrath of God. On that day, he will come executing justice on behalf of the Father and for His people. Revelation chapter 19 pictures Christ, the returning King, as coming on a white horse with the armies of heaven following Him in white robes. Verses 15 and 16 say, "From His mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it He may strike down the nations, and He will rule them with a rod of iron. And He treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty. And on His robe and on His thigh He has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." What a glorious day that will be for all who have taken refuge in Jesus Christ. But think how terrifying that day will be for those who have persisted in their rebellion against the King of Kings, for those who have resisted His rule, for those who have scorned His salvation and rejected His call to be saved. What a terrifying day it will be. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to find shelter in the rock, Jesus Christ. And I urge you to do so if you've not done that at this time. But we look forward to the day when Christ will return in glory as the King and the Judge of the world. David's testimony here is that the Lord lives. We do not believe in a dead Savior. We do not believe in a God who is dead. The Lord lives. He is the Savior and the protector of His people. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who has accomplished the redemptive expectation of David, which is portrayed in this psalm. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ who will return again as the judge of every man. And so as we await His return, may we remain engaged in the battle. May we do so with confidence if our faith rests in our Lord Jesus Christ, because He is our rock. He is our King. And in Him, our salvation is secure and our victory is certain. Let's bow in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this testimony, for these inspired words of Your servant David. We praise You that indeed You do live, Lord God, and Jesus Christ. We praise You that You are reigning in heaven at the Father's right hand, ruling over all things for Your church. We thank You for Your grace and mercy in subduing us to Yourself, rebellious sinners, hostile sinners, how You humbled us and brought us to convict us of our sins and to trust in Your mercy for forgiveness. We thank You that You are continuing to work in our hearts to sanctify us, and that You are ruling and defending us, restraining and conquering all of Your and our enemies. And we pray that You would strengthen our faith as we move forward, that we would not lose heart in the battle, that we would press on, trusting in Your care, because You are our rock. You are our fortress. You are the stronghold that we go to, and we know that we are preserved in Your power. Give us the faith of David. Help us to live with confidence and boldness as Your servants, proclaiming Your truth and the hope of the salvation that is found in You alone. May Your name be exalted as Your righteousness prevails. And we look forward to the day when You will come again in glory, Lord Jesus, and render justice on behalf of Your people and receive us into glory. We pray this in Your name. Amen.